read this evening in Ephesians 5 really opens up a new section of the letter, and the general theme of this section is the theme of subjection. You can see that in verse 21, Paul states a kind of general principle for all Christians. He says, "Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ." In other words, Christians are to be low-key people. We are to defer to one another and to give way and to back down and always to keep thinking that the other person is better than yourself. And that's a principle that runs right through New Testament teaching. We are to be subject to one another out of our reverence for Christ. That's a broad general principle for all Christians. But the rest of the section, from verse 22 onwards, and going right into chapter 6 and the end of verse 9, is now concerned with three particular illustrations of that general rule. The first of these is the submission of wives to their husbands, from verse 22 to the end of chapter 5. In chapter 6 and the first four verses, he speaks about the submission of children to their parents. And then in chapter 6 and verse 5 onwards, he speaks about the submission of servants to their masters. The submission of wives to husbands, the submission of children to parents, and the submission of servants to masters. And these three subjections stand at the heart of God's moral universe. They stand at the heart of God's world of authority and order. And one cannot really challenge these principles or ignore them or flaunt them without flaunting a moral order that has been established by God. I want to think first of all then this evening about the first of these sections, the whole question of marriage, the subjection of a wife to her husband, and the love of a husband for his wife. And I think that there are two great things that we should see first of all. The first of these is the parallel between the marriage of a husband and wife and the marriage of Jesus Christ to his church, the bride of the Lamb. That's a parallel that runs right through this passage. The parallel between a husband and wife and Christ and his bride. And some of the scholars have suggested that this is a parallel which breaks down here in Ephesians, and they suggest that Paul rather runs out of steam before the end of the chapter, so that he isn't quite sure which of the two he's speaking about. Is he speaking about the human institution of marriage, or has he been swept off his feet and carried away into the third heaven? And is he now speaking about the marriage of Christ to his bride, the church? And there is, at points, a little bit of confusion. For example, in verse 25, he starts by saying, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church." And then he starts to go into Christ's work for the church. He gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church to himself, so on. It seems as if he stopped speaking about human marriage, and he's now speaking about the spiritual marriage of Christ and the church. You find the same sort of slight confusion in verse 32. He says, "This mystery is a profound one." And what I'm saying is, it refers to Christ and the church. But in fact, he's just been speaking about husband and wife. He says, but really, I'm not speaking about husband and wife. I'm speaking about Christ and the church. And so some suggest that the analogy between the two marriages breaks down. I'm inclined to believe that the analogy does not break down, but that it holds right to the end of the chapter, so that there is an authentic parallel between the marriage of a man and a woman and the marriage of Jesus Christ and his bride, the bride of the Lamb. And you can see this parallel between the two marriages in virtually all the verses. In verse 22, wives, be subject to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. Verse 24, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, and so on. That's the first great thing, to see the two parallel marriages. The second great thing to notice is that the heart of the teaching here really lies in verse 31. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And in fact, that verse comes straight from Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. And it was to this verse in Genesis 2 that Jesus went when he was questioned by the scribes and the Pharisees about the whole issue of divorce and remarriage. You see, what the Pharisees and scribes wanted Jesus to do was to take sides. In those days, the rabbis, the Jewish rabbis, were divided on the question of divorce and remarriage. And some of them held a very liberal, broad-minded view, and were prepared to allow divorce and remarriage on the most trivial grounds and for the most childish reasons. They were broad-minded, worldly men. Some of the rabbis had a very narrow view, a strict view of divorce and remarriage, and so they came to Jesus trying to trap him, and they wanted Jesus to take sides so that they could find him out. But Jesus ignored what the rabbis taught, and he went straight to what God had to say. In fact, he went straight to Genesis chapter 2, this verse that Paul is quoting here. And Jesus said, in the beginning it was not so. Now, he's referring to the book of Genesis. You know that in Hebrew, in the Jewish Bible, they don't use the titles that we use for the titles of our books. For example, they don't call the book of Genesis, Genesis. They call Genesis by its opening words, which are, in the beginning. And that's the name of the first book of the Bible in Hebrew. Not Genesis, but in the beginning. And when the Pharisees were trying to nail Jesus down, he said, in the beginning, it was not so. And he quotes this verse. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And in fact, what Genesis is saying is that when a boy leaves his family, and when a girl leaves her family to get married, a whole new set of relationships comes into existence. The girl becomes a daughter-in-law in her husband's family, and the man becomes a son-in-law in the girl's family. A new kind of love enters into their lives. A new unit of life has been born, the monogamous marriage of a man and woman until God separates them by death, that indissoluble union which can be broken only by unfaithfulness or by death. And that's the heart of Genesis 2 on marriage. They two shall become one flesh. And that's the heart of this passage here in Ephesians chapter 5. A man leaving his father and mother, and a girl leaving her father and mother, and starting a new unit of life, and a new set of relationships, and a new kind of loving. And to understand the New Testament teaching on marriage, you have to keep going back to these two great originals. First of all, to the parallel between human marriage and the marriage of Christ and the Church. And secondly, to the heart of marriage, as is taught by Genesis 2. And the parallel and the heart are God's blueprint for marriage and for marriage relationships. If you want to see how a husband and a wife should live together and how they should treat each other and respect each other in the bonds of marriage, you have to keep going back to the original, back to Christ and the Church, back to Genesis chapter 2, because these are the blueprints. They are the grand design of God for human marriage. The marriage of Christ to the Church, the love of Christ for the Church, the subjection of the Church to Christ, and they qualify the marriage of husband and wife, the love of the husband for the wife, and the subjection of the wife to the husband. In fact, if you step over to this side and go back into the parallel of Christ and the Church, you find that you can, in fact, go through it and go beyond it, right into the New Testament, because the story of Christ seeking a bride in the New Testament is paralleled again by the story of Jehovah